Matter of fact, he wanted a double portion of what Elijah had, and it was granted to him. And if you'll study your Bible, he did so many things for God in the Old Testament. So we find him now on his deathbed. That reminds me of something. We're all going to die. Young people, I can't promise you that you'll live to my age or as other ages that are represented here this morning, but I can tell you this, we're all going to lay this body down, and we're going to meet God individually. The Bible says that we must be born again, we must be saved. The only way that happens is to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, for we're saved by grace through faith. God's finished work by His Son upon an old rugged cross. He paid the sin debt by shedding His blood for you and I. I believe He shed His blood for all people, all nations. And I sure am thankful we have a God that loved us like that. But now here in our text, let's stand and let's honor the reading of the Word of God in 2 Kings 13, verse number 14. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him, and look what the king did. He wept over his face, and he said, "Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." You see, Joash realized that his army was not sufficient enough to take care of the battle, but he needed God's army. God had rode in many times on the chariots. Elijah had left out in one. So certainly he's referring to when Elijah left, and he says the same thing. The chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Wouldn't it be a blessing if the leadership in our nation seen the essentials of having a man of God in their presence? And let me tell you, a preacher's just human. But when a man is really sold out to God and His Word, he can affect so many lives and give you so much good direction. So Elisha said unto him, it's funny what he said. He didn't say, "Go and get me a doctor. Go and get me food or water, Brother Michael." But that's what I want you to do. I want you to take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said, "The king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow." And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, here's our phrase, "Open the window eastward." And he opened it. Then Elisha said, "Shoot." And he shot. And he said, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians or the enemy in Aphek till thou have consumed them." Verse 18, he said, "Take the arrows." And he took them. And he said, "The king of Israel smite upon the ground," and he smote thrice, and he stayed. Or he shot three times, and he quit. And the man of God, isn't this amazing? He was wroth with him. The Bible said, and he said, "Thou shouldest have smitten five or six times, then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice." You may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing, honoring the reading of the precious Word of God. Father, we love You. I'm a needy preacher today. Lord, would You help me to be a blessing to You people? Do that only what You can do for us through Your Word. Help us today with our thoughts and our heart. Thank You for our church. You've blessed so abundantly. I thank You for everyone that's come here today. God, all these little ones, I thank You for them. Help us now to do right in the Word of God. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask You, amen and amen. So last week we dealt with the thought of sleeping at the window. This morning I want to deal with the thought on shooting at the window. Shooting at the window. It's a unique text. I want to notice, first of all, there's the timing of the window. When Joash, the king of Israel, came down to Elisha, the man of God, the Lord had a window of opportunity there. The timing of this window, it was a time of providence. God was behind the scenes. He was looking ahead for Joash. Aren't you glad we've got a God that knows exactly what we need at such an appointed time? You see, Joash did not come down to see Elisha looking for a window. But God had it set there for him. It was a time of providence. I want to tell you, there are no accidents with God. God brings windows in our life. Windows of opportunity that we can operate and do out of those. So we see this timing of the window. It was a time of providence, and then there was a time of potential. You see, this window at this time, it could only accomplish the things that it could do in this hour. In other words, it was no accident that this window has been brought in his life. I want to tell everybody here today, there's no accident of the window that God has brought in your life at this day and this hour. For it is by divine providence he brought it to Joash. The timing of this window. It was a time of providence. It was a time of potential. And then lastly, it was a time of purpose. Now note, he was not looking for the window, but God was so good, he brought that window to him. I'm glad some windows that God has brought in my life. There's the timing of this window. And then there's the test of this window. Notice the Bible says, it's very specific, verse 17, he said, open the window eastward, and he opened it. The test of the window, what's going on? Look at the condition. It was shut. It was a window there, but it was shut. The condition. But then it was a challenge. He told him to open the window. The challenge, you see, effort was required. I want to ask you something, you that are older. Have you ever noticed when the windows in the house will not raise? Why do windows not open all the time? Because they're stuck. But he was commanded to open this window. I want to ask you something. The window that God has brought to you in life, have you got it open? So what makes things get stuck? I've noticed this, raising an old house, paint will make a window get stuck. You see, over time, pride, self-sufficiency, and tradition, it can build up into the window. And the window of faith many times is sealed. It's stuck shut. And then dirt will have it to not be able to be raised. The accumulation of little things can keep us from responding to God. Windows get painted. They get dirty. And then sometimes rust appears. A lot like in our life, when bitterness comes, unforgiveness, it corrodes our heart. And we're not able to get the window up that God wants us to raise. And then sometimes windows, they warp. They're not squared up. They won't raise. They need adjusting. You know, sometimes through life's process and burdens and heartaches, it has a tendency to warp our frame. And then I want to say fourthly, the reason the window will not raise, because it's the lack of use. You know, Daniel had his windows open, never was shut. A prayerless prayer life will have our windows to have a lack of use. Our Bible neglecting, our belief many times finds it difficult to open. This test of the window, its condition, it was shut. It was a challenge. He had to open it, but it was also a choice. It was up to Joash to raise the window. Elisha would not raise it for him. And I like what the Bible says. Look in verse 17. The author said this one of the most profound statements in the Bible. Look what it said, verse 17. Circle it. And he opened it. So there's the test at the window. We see the condition of it. It's shut. The challenge of it. He had to do it. The choice of it is up to him. But now the compliance of it, and he opened it. I've told this before. Some of you have not heard it, but I like it so good. I love telling it. Sort of like when I got saved, I love telling it over and over. But y'all remember when they run the phone lines? When we were young people, we had party lines. We didn't have cell phones. I don't know how we made it. But you'd be on a party line. Maybe three homes on one line. Could you young couples imagine that? When your phone would ring in the house, ours would be ring, ring, ring. That was us to answer. Another family would just be a ring, and in silence a ring, there to answer. Another family would be, ring, ring, Brother Mike, and it was their cue to answer. Well, back in them days, I wasn't about 14, 13 years old. I had a little girlfriend down the road, and so we'd be talking on it, and there was a man there, you could hear him breathing. He'd say, his eavesdropping on our conversation. I'd say, hang the phone up. You'd hear it click. It's amazing. It's amazing today. So they run phones down here in Bowden. It's a funny story. My dad-in-law, my wife's husband, he was such a prankster, hard-working man. I met Renee in Florida, and Brother Lee, he shook my hand, Brother Adam, down by the pool. And man, when he squeezed my fingernails about come out of the end of my fingers, Jared. I mean, he is a block mason, brick mason. He said, boy, that's my daughter you just met by the swimming pool. Amen. But he was a prankster. He loved to have pranks. Well, his brother-in-law, they put a phone line in back over here behind the church. And so he called his brother-in-law. He picked up. Boy, they was uptown, got a phone in the house. He said, this is Southern Bell. I'm calling, said, understand you got this new phone. Oh, yes, sir, and we're really enjoying it. We like it. So is it working good? He said, oh, yeah, it's working good. He said, well, I can hear you good on it. He said, we got an issue. We have a maintenance program, and we've got to blow your phone lines out. He said, blow my lines out? He said, yeah, stick the phone out the window. I need to blow the lines out. So this old fella, he lays the phone down on the dresser, and Brother Michael, he stays and stays, and he got back on the phone. He said, I can't get the window up. He said, hang on. Let me go get a screwdriver. We got a screwdriver and prized that window up and raised the window. He said, hold on. He said, I got it now. He said, well, stick your phone out the window. He stuck it out the window, and boy, Renee's daddy went to hee-hawing and a laughing. But you know, we take that application a lot of times. Our windows get stuck, don't they? Here in Joe Ash's life, it was up to him in order to keep his window open. And so here we see in our passage where I want to get to and really, really give you what the Lord's put in my heart, the timing of this window. Young families right now, older families, we all are in a life of providence where God has set windows in front of us, giving us great opportunities. And then there's a test of the window, but look at the target out of the window. What was the target? What? Now he got the window up. What is he to do? He's to shoot. And I want to tell all of you families today, and you've heard me say it a hundred of times, give it your best shot. Give it your best shot. What does Joash do? The target out of the window. Watch this. It was open eastward. It was opened in a specific direction. It was not open north, south, or west, but it was open eastward. Specific direction. Now watch this. You that are living by faith, here's a Bible nugget. The Bible teaches us. I want you to see it. You young Christians, I want you to understand this right here. The target out the window, there are directions. It's a process. Notice what he had to do. He had to open the window first, and he opened it, and then he got directions. A lot of you, you're wanting God to tell you the end of the process. But when you start walking by faith, and I'm not belittling God, I'm just going to give an example of how it works so many times. God acts a lot of times like a checkerboard. When he moves, he tells you something, it's your move. And then he moves again. Until he moves and tells you to do something, do nothing. Wait on the Lord. And so here, Joash There was a plan for him to do, but God didn't give him all the instructions to start with. He simply had to open the window first and then shoot. It's so much like when Abraham took Isaac on Mount Moriah. God told him to go and offer his son of one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. When Abraham started out, he started out and God started speaking to him one step at a time. And that's the way it is living by faith. We got to understand about these directions. We have responsibility. When we obey, our obedience is shown, then God reacts. Look what happens. He raises this window, and then Elisha said, shoot, and he shot. So the target out the window is the directions. Then secondly, there's a discovery. The open window gave him more than a view. It gave him a vision. It gave Joash not only a view, but it gave him a vision. It's amazing what you can see once you get the window up and you can look out of it and see what's going on. And so there is the target out of the window. And then watch this little nugget. There's a touch at the window. You see, God has challenged Joash to do something that he could not do on his own efforts. Look at this touch at the window. It's very important. This is what he said. He simply told him, he said, take your hands, in verse 15, watch. Here it is. Put thine hand, singular, upon the bow. Do your part. And he put his hand upon it. And look, and Elisha put his hands, plural, on the king's hands. There's a touch at the window. When God puts his hands on, God does not want to assist. God wants to take over. Can I get an amen this morning? Oh, how we need God's hands on what we're trying to do. So there's a target. There's a touch. And then lastly, there's a truth at the window. There was triumphs. He responded, he obeyed, and he shot three times. But I don't know if y'all could handle a preacher like Elisha. He didn't pat him on the back and he said, that a boy, you shot three times. He said, hey, you could have shot more. Why didn't you do more with that window of opportunity that you had? And you know, folks, I don't want to go to heaven when I get there and I've got arrows left in my back pocket. When I meet God, I want Him to say, Ken, boy, you shot every arrow you had to shoot for me. And I got to thinking about this timing now. Let me give you my heart and I'm going to be done preaching. This timing of the window. You that are younger, I want you to listen real good to me this morning. I want you to listen real good. This is pastoral teaching. I want you to listen. These windows don't last long. These windows are short and they only open for a little while. And it's amazing what can happen though when you obey God out of what He's wanting you to do in that particular window of life. I want to say this. In your marriage, it's amazing what window that we have of opportunity. As we sent off Isaac and Riley yesterday, I began to think about this sermon, and their life is just starting. Man, everything is great, and boy, the honeymoon is wonderful. But what happens when you can't pay the bills? What happens when the car breaks down? What happens when you say something you shouldn't have said and she pouts 2 weeks? Somebody say amen. Shake your little baby's heads up and down. But I want you to think about this just a minute. And if y'all will allow me to use these examples, not to embarrass nobody, I want to use it so I can clarify what I'm saying. Dylan, I want you and Julie, come here just a minute. Y'all are so precious. Miss Renee, I want you to step out right here behind Brother Mike. I want you to come stand with me just a minute. Talking about this window of opportunity. Here's two young kids. How old are you, Dylan?
22.
And Julia, you're
21,
22. Come here, baby. I'm not going to tell them how old we are. I'm not going to say old lady, baby, no. Y'all think about this. The window that we've had in our life, we started younger than this. And look at us today. We had things that only that window could bring for us, but we had to put our best efforts through that window for our marriage. There's been times that she didn't understand me and I didn't understand her. But I want to give you one of the greatest nuggets that I've ever heard. I'm going to give you two. How we've stayed together. We wanted to be together more than we wanted to be apart. And number two, one of my friends here gave me this one day back in the woods. He said, you know, the older in life we get, you got to think about, first of all, what made you love her and stay with that thought. And I love you, baby. And so I want to say this window, you can see how on Renee it's closing on us. Don't know how much longer we got, but it's not this way no more, Dylan. Y'all are this way. Take advantage of the window God has given you. Young, be seated. John, where's Hollis? Is he in the nursery? Come here, Hollis, with Daddy. Come here. God showed me this last night. Come here, John. Come here, Hollis. Don't slap my hand hard. We're in church. I want you to stand right up here just a minute. I want you to be a sweet boy. I want you to stand right here. John, you just stay on the floor. Hold on right here. I want you to look at something. God showed me this yesterday. Regina, look how much they favor.
Amen.
Megan Macy was this age. Now they're older than John. What me and Renee do with that window? There's little Hollis, looked just like his daddy. 25 years or so, he'll look just like John. And John, you'll be about 50 and you'll look back and say, my goodness, where'd time go? What I do in this window of time with my children. Y'all be seated. Thank you. Brother Jamie, in there on top of that cupboard, would you go get that Liberty Baptist sign for me? Good boy. Window of opportunity of time for our marriage, raising our children. You know, it's so important what you do through this window with your family. You have an opportunity to do great things for God, to be something for Jesus. There's a young man told us the last couple of weeks, raised a very tough home life. And we all know when you're raised in a very bad condition, most of the time, they fall in that rut and they become how they were raised in that bad condition. But this young man said, you know what? I've had to make my mind up to either be like them or be somebody else. It's windows. Time. Joash, far as I know, he never got that opportunity again. You're never going to have another opportunity, young families, to raise your children like today. Never, ever are you going to have them opportunities again. I can remember, Brother Randall, our first church at Delta, Alabama, where you was a deacon. That was nearly 35 years ago. Megan, Macy, we'd put them in car seats. We had an old blue Pepsi van, Shane, and off we'd go. They went everywhere we took them. They followed us. Now they're grown and have grandchildren by them. It's amazing, that window. Then, Brother Mike, I got to thinking about the window God offered us with about five families one time. This is what we had in your yard. That's one of the scariest things I've ever done in my life, put this sign in Brother Mike's yard and said, "We're starting a church, Liberty Baptist Church." You see, God in His providence, Ty brought a window in my life. He's brought this window of ministry in everybody's life here. I wonder what we're going to do out of this window that God has for us for ministry at Liberty Baptist Church. Life is so short, but God is so good. The things, Brother Mark, I wished I could do over again. Yeah, so, preacher, tell me something. If you're just going to do something over again, what would you do? Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'd have loved my wife more. And I'd have spent more times with my kids than what I did. We raised our kids right. We'd tear them up. A lot of you don't even know what a good tail whooping is. They didn't backtalk us at our house. Yes, sir, no, sir. There was our rules, but we taught our children what was right. And I only had a small window to do that. I didn't raise our children, "Do we have an option Sunday? What do we do Sunday?" Well, we'll go to the house of God, then we do what we need to do. It's priority. Make the house of God your priority with your children. Love your wife. Ladies, love your husband. And we at Liberty Baptist Church, I don't know if you realize it or not, but God has given us a window here. That's unbelievable. Look at the little children we've got. Leadership, we've just got a window to influence these little ones. What do they see in us? Because they're watching. As far as I know, Joe Ash never got another opportunity. Miss Susan, if you'd come this morning. Brother Mike called us to get her to play. You say, "Well, preacher, he did shoot." He sure did. And I'll be honest with you, I commend him for it. Elisha wasn't bragging on him much. But he did get the wonder up. Can you get your wonder up this morning? Anything's in your heart, don't need to be there, it's kept you from getting the wonder up, but you could have a vision to see what God has entrusted you with. And can I tell you, when He has given you these children, He's given you the most essential part of life that He's entrusted you with. Daddies, listen to me now. I'm done. When Adam sinned in the garden, God come walking in the cool of the day, He didn't holler out Eve. He said, "Adam, where are thou?" Daddies, you're responsible for your home. You say, "Well, preacher, look, dude, it's 2026. I get it. But this Bible's still right. Wished I had some do-overs. I wouldn't have said some things I said. I'd have done things different. But all I can do is continue forward out of the window that's open for me in my life right now and do the best I can with it." Some of you, you've not had the raising that I was fortunate enough to have, or many of these others have had. You've not had the heritage, start you one. Be different. Love Jesus. Love one another and love your family. Miss Susan. John won't be long. He'll be your age. Brother Mike, man, you got older now, man. Started this church when I was about 32 or 33 years old. My dad-in-law, all respect to him, he's a good man. He said, "You're too young for that responsibility for y'all to build that church down there." He is right. You see, Lee, I needed his hands. What I needed to do out of my wonder. Young families, you need his hands on your life, on your jobs, on your children. What you going to do with the window God's sent to you? Our sister plays this morning. I asked, would you come? Would you come pray? Some of y'all to come pray together. Bring your wives, husbands. Y'all to come pray with your children. Ask God to help you with this window of life and opportunity. I want you, would you just respond maybe if something's touched your heart?